From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue the series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Psalm 97 and verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Thou hast good reason to hate evil, for only consider what harm it has already wrought thee. Oh, what a world of mischief sin has brought into thy heart! Sin blinded thee so that thou couldst not see the beauty of the Savior. It made thee deaf so that thou couldst not hear the Redeemer's tender invitations. Sin turned thy feet into the way of death, and poured poison into the very fountain of thy being. It tainted thy heart, and made it deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Oh, what a creature thou wast, when evil had done its utmost with thee, before divine grace interposed! Thou wast an heir of wrath, even as others. Thou didst run with the multitude to do evil. Such were all of us. But Paul reminds us, But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. We have good reason indeed for hating evil, when we look back and trace its deadly workings. Such mischief did evil do us, that our souls would have been lost had not omnipotent love interfered to redeem us. Even now it is an active enemy, ever watching to do us hurt and drag us to perdition. Therefore hate evil, O Christians, unless you desire trouble. If you would strew your path with thorns and plant nettles in your death pillow, then neglect to hate evil. But if you would live a happy life and die a peaceful death, then walk in all the ways of holiness, hating evil even unto the end. If you truly love your Savior and would honor Him, then hate evil. We know of no cure for the love of evil in a Christian, like abundant intercourse with the Lord Jesus. Dwell much with Him, and it is impossible for you to be at peace with sin. Order my footsteps by Thy word, and make my heart sincere. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear.
Been drawn closer to His heart, a place that trial brings. We have seen victory over sin and witnessed answered prayer. We have known Christ, be our only strength, found His word a jewel rare. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it clean, keep it pure. Make your love for Christ endure. Guard your ears, guard your eyes, pressing onward to the prize. Lest you fall, lest you fail, make your love for Christ prevail. wicked foe. The victory is at your command, your prayers he'll answer still. Be the guardian of your only heart, be this word his perfect will. Keep your heart, keep your heart, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it clean, keep it pure, make your love for Christ endure. Guard your ears, guard your eyes, pressing onward to the prize. Lest you fall, lest you fail, make your love for Christ prevail. Keep your heart,
keep your heart,
keep your heart, keep your heart.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message called Five Consequences of Sovereign Grace. The text is found in chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, and Paul began the chapter by declaring, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." In verse 31, Paul asked the question, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" In answer, Dr. Cairns presented five certainties of sovereign grace, which Paul set forth in the concluding verses of the chapter. In the light of those glorious truths, there are precious consequences that follow for all of Christ's redeemed people. First, there is no more subjugation to the devil's domination. Next, there is no deprivation for God's people, for God has given them all things in Christ. Then, because of what Christ did on the cross, God will accept no accusation against them from either man or the devil. The fourth consequence takes us back to verse 1 of the chapter, no condemnation. The perfection of Christ's atoning work makes that impossible. Finally, we'll see that there is no separation, for nothing can ever separate a believer from God unless it can overthrow what Christ has done. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message called Five Consequences of Sovereign Grace.
There is no accusation that God will allow even to suggest that his people are fit to be damned. Which leads to the fourth great consequence of the certainties of sovereign grace in verse 34. There's no condemnation. Who is he that condemneth? Verse 33, there's no charge that he will allow. And now from the throne of judgment there is no condemnation that he will issue. Now this would seem to be just a restatement of the main proposition. When you're learning homiletics, one thing you learn is that when you have a thematic statement or a proposition, verse 1, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that proposition cannot be one of the points. You see? And here it would seem that it's just one of the points again. There's no condemnation. But it's only an appearance. Paul forgot more about homiletics than any of the homiletics professors ever knew. Here's the point at this verse 34. It's not just the statement, there's no condemnation. But follow the logic, and I will merely make the point. It's worthy of a whole study on its own. The impossibility of condemnation for a believer is in direct proportion to the performance and completeness of the work of Christ. That's the point. The statement, verse 1, there's no condemnation. Now he's working it out. And he comes to this in verse 34. Christ died. Christ is risen again. Christ is at the right hand of God. Christ is also making intercession for us. There are four pillars of fundamental gospel truth. Christ died. Christ rose again. Christ is at the right hand of God. Christ maketh intercession for us. That's the completeness of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in light of that, he says, who is he that condemneth? The impossibility of our condemnation rests entirely upon the perfection, completeness of the work that Christ performs and continues to perform. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him. But who is he? My living head. You get it? No condemnation. So many times God's people fall into the trap of, well, look at me. I feel I condemn myself. How can God, who is holy, not condemn me? Because he deals with us in Christ. Can he condemn his own son? Can God ever dismiss the sacrifice of Calvary? Can he ever deny the virtue of the blood? Can he ever countermand that great work of resurrection? Can he ever toss Christ away from the right hand of the Majesty on high? Can he ever turn a deaf ear to the intercessions of the Son of God? If God can do any or all of those, then we can be condemned. But until God can do that, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that leads to the final great conclusion. No separation. And this is what verses 35 to verse 39, to 39 are all about. He has loved us with an everlasting love. I said last week, He loves us with an unconquerable love. Everything that Christ did and still does expresses and demonstrates that love of God for us. Now here's the great conclusion. Nothing can ever sever a believer from His love unless it first overcome Christ and overthrew all He has ever done. Think of that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, if this were simply a matter of us loving Him, that's all there were to it. And I could imagine a million things that could sever us from love. But He says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. He's the one who took the initiative. This is divine love. And here's the great truth. God is saying, where is there anything in the heavens above, the earth beneath, or hell? Where is there anyone in the angels of glory, the man of earth, or the demons of the pit? Where is there anything in all the circumstances of time, of life with all its perplexities, of death with all its horrors, of eternity? Where is there anything that can ever sever a Christian, foreknown, predestined, called, justified, glorified, in union with Christ? Where is there anything that can sever such an one from the eternal, unchangeable, unconquerable love of God? Where is it? And every demon of the pit slinks away into the darkness in utter defeat and confusion because there is no separation. Is it possible for anything to overcome Christ? Is it possible for anything to overthrow the work that He has forever accomplished? Absolutely not. Therefore, Jesus says in John 10:28, I give unto them, that is my sheep, I give to my sheep eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a blessing that is. What a comfort in the dark days when health fails and strength flies away, when you have nothing in yourself to depend on. What a comfort to know none will pluck us out of the Savior's hand. As many of you know, in fact, probably most of you, for you've prayed diligently with us. My brother up in Ohio, he killed me for saying this because he'd be watching, is suffering, and for the last number of months has been in very great agony of body. But is suffering from an incurable cancer. He was challenged some time ago when he was physically at his lowest and at his weakest. He was challenged by an unbeliever who said, look at the book of Job. You would think that God had forgotten that He was God. In other words, the devil was calling the tune. Look what Job had to suffer. And Dave said, if that's all you get out of the book of Job, you would need to read it again. Let me tell you what I get from the book of Job. This thrilled my heart, for I'd never heard a preacher conjoin these passages before. See, when I read the book of Job, I see Satan do his best to snatch Job away. And when he had done it all, he couldn't cut him off from God, because Jesus said, no man shall pluck him out of my hand. It's a testimony you need in life. That's a testimony you need when the chips are down. That's a testimony and an assurance you need when you're facing death. May I ask you tonight, is that your testimony? No separation. Because you see, if you're out of Christ, then the converse of everything I have said tonight is true of you. You are subjugated to every power of sin and hell. You are deprived of all saving goodness and grace. You go right down the line, every accusation stands against you. You are under condemnation from a thrice holy God. If you die tonight, you'll be separated forever in the outer darkness of a lost eternity. I trust you're saved. This is a whole lot more than religion. It's a whole lot more than being programmed to give the right answers to religious questions. This is our right heart standing with God. Make sure you're saved tonight. When you're saved, then these certainties of sovereign grace, with these conclusions and these inevitable consequences of the certainties, will be your testimony. You'll be able to come back and say, this is what I say. When I think of all that God has said in Romans 8, this is what I say in response. God is for us. Who can be against us? No subjugation, no deprivation, no accusation, no condemnation, and no separation. We're going home to glory. We're going to be with Christ forever. And there's nothing in heaven, earth, and hell can ever come between Christ and His blood-bought people. May God bless His word to our hearts. May God make you to know that you're in that company of God's redeemed. Do not settle down tonight until you know you're saved, till you're certain that it's well with your soul. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word this evening. How we thank thee for a great Savior and a glorious salvation. What a wonderful thing it is that God did for us guilty sinners. What a glorious salvation. Thank God we're not going to heaven as some sort of second-class citizens. We're not getting in the back door. Bless God, we're in Christ. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a joy. Justified freely, accepted fully. We thank thee for all the fullness that there is in Christ. Lord, what fullness there is. What blessing there is for life, for health, even in sickness. And then the last article of death, thank God there's victory even there. Hear our cry tonight. Bless thy word to every heart. Produce fruit for its preaching, in the saving of souls, and in the sanctifying of the people of God. Part us with thy blessing. O Lord, we pray, keep us in thy fear, the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. And grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, may be our abiding portion both this Sabbath evening and evermore. We pray, giving thee our thanks. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.